I feel like every week I'm getting up here and telling you about my favorite book. And each week it's a different book. I have many favorite books. And one of them that I wanted to tell you about today is called Practice Resurrection. Right? We don't think of resurrection as something that we practice, but that's what this book is called, Practice Resurrection. And it's by the renowned professor of spiritual theology, the late Eugene Peterson, who is most known for his popular paraphrase of the Bible that we call The Message. And I know some of you have read that. But in Practice Resurrection, Peterson draws on Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which we heard some of it just now from Livia, and he draws on that as the prime reference for us knowing what it means to grow in our faith and to be empowered to live what he calls resurrection lives. What is a resurrection life? Well, it's a life that cannot be contained inside a tomb. So he subtitles his book, A Conversation on Growing Up in Christ. This book is about what it means to become spiritually mature Christians. And that's what Paul is writing about in this morning's scripture reading from Ephesians. He doesn't write in terms of what the Ephesians must believe in their heads, but rather the way they ought to live their lives, what a spiritually mature Christian life looks like. In the first line, he writes about walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, the call to follow Christ. What that means is that a spiritually mature life looks a lot like the one who called us. It looks a lot like Jesus' life. Christian spiritual maturity is a lifelong process of striving to be more like Jesus. And in doing so, living out the gifts or character qualities that are given to believers by the Holy Spirit, a number of which Paul mentions here. He mentions humility, gentleness, patience, and love. These are the gifts we're given by the Holy Spirit that enable us to look more like Jesus. So in verses 13 to 16, Paul writes that God's gifts were given until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. He says, we must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine. And we certainly see a lot of winds of doctrine in the world these days. But he says, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. The gifts of the Spirit of Christ are made manifest in the unity of the body of Christ, because the gifts we have are given not just for our personal pleasure, but for the good of all, right? They're given for the good of all. We know that we are growing in maturity, in spiritual Christian maturity, when we begin to shift from seeking our own interests and preferences to seeking the well-being of the body. So why is it important to grow up in our faith, to become spiritually mature? We know that Christ loves us and accepts us just as we are, right? There's nothing we can do to be saved. Jesus has already done everything that we need for us to be saved. But because he loves us, he doesn't save us just to leave us as we are. He saves us so that he might sanctify us. That is, set us apart, draw us apart from the rest of the world for a holy purpose. He saves us to transform us, to change our lives, to put in us a new heart, to make us more like Him. Baptism at any age is the beginning of a process of sanctification, of transformation, of being made holy. And that process will look different for each person, but for all of us, it's a lifelong journey. God saves us and then He empowers us by His Spirit within us to live our lives in a way that will make a real difference in a fallen and hurting world. And so this gift of sanctification and spiritual maturity is not just for our own benefit, though we do benefit immensely from it. Our Christian calling is not just for our own sake. We don't come to church, for example, just for our own personal pleasure and comfort. We come to church not to have a nice moment of peace and quiet with pleasant music and a cup of coffee afterwards. There are better places you could go for all of those things. We come here to be equipped to become more and more like Jesus, to encourage and to be encouraged by others who are also going through that process. And we do come to be empowered to go out into the world as bearers of Christ's name. My job as a minister, for example, is not to do ministry on your behalf. My job is not to pray and read scripture and worship and care for others for you on your behalf. The job of a minister, as it says in verses 11, 12, is to equip the saints. And that's all of you, right? You're the saints, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. My job is to make sure you have everything you need so that you're empowered to go from the church into the world as the saints of God, ministering to all those who you meet. We come here to the church as Christian disciples, and we all leave here as apostles, messengers of God's love, who have been sent into the world. And that requires preparation and growth and maturity and spiritual fortitude, which we receive from God and which gives us the power to minister, often in difficult situations. Christian spiritual maturity, from the time of our baptism and for the rest of our lives, requires intentionality and commitment in order to be empowered to do the tasks that we are called to do. It requires a commitment to worship, to fellowship, to service, and pastoral care to one another. But all of this involves a commitment to spiritual growth, our own spiritual growth and the spiritual growth of each other. It requires a committed choice to go deeper into our relationship with God, both in the heart so that we grow in love and in the mind so that we grow in wisdom and understanding. Without that intentionality, right, without setting our minds and being intentional about our own spiritual growth, rather than growing, we'll just stagnate in our faith and in our spiritual health. And that is going to limit the power we have to do the ministry that Christ has called us to do. Growing in spiritual maturity doesn't happen by accident. Nobody has ever drifted into spiritual maturity. If we're going to just go with the flow, it's more likely that we will drift away from Christ. Right? So it requires us to be intentional. Spiritual growth happens when we seek opportunities to grow and to learn. I often encourage people to pray first that God would plant in your hearts the desire to grow in your faith. If you're just satisfied with your spiritual life being the way it is, you won't grow. right? But having that desire to become spiritually mature is already a sign of growth in itself. The desire to learn how to pray, to know more about the Bible, to know Jesus more intimately, that is already a gift from God. The Bible teaches that we don't even have the power to want to know God unless it's given to us by the Holy Spirit. As we mature in our faith, we begin to find that we have a newly growing sense of empowerment that we can't explain except to say that the power of the Holy Spirit is working in us to give us what we need to do things that we never imagined we could do. The Holy Spirit empowers the church to be the agents of change in the world, a countercultural body. The task of the church is to breathe in the Spirit and be empowered by the Spirit to act on behalf of God. As the Spirit of God flows into us, it also flows from us in the ways that we treat one another, in the ways that we speak to one another, in the ways that we care for others in our community, in the ways we live out the new life that we have received in Jesus Christ. That is how God empowers us to do all of the things that he calls us to do and to be the people he created us to be the body of Christ together. Thanks be to God. Amen. Yeah.